Hi, this is Tiffany Montgomery from Shop Eat Surf. One theme I keep hearing from many core retailers is that Patagonia is on fire in the core market. The company's surf program has been steadily growing and has really taken off in the past 4 years. And Patagonia's recent entry into the Florida market has gone quite well from what I hear. We sat down with Jason McCaffrey, who leads Patagonia's surf division, to talk about what is driving that growth. He told us how much revenue the surf division generates and how much it is growing each year. You'll be amazed at both those numbers. Jason also explains Patagonia's unique approach to product, which has upsides and downsides, and tells us what's next for the brand. Now, here's our conversation with Jason. So I'm at the Patagonia headquarters with Jason McCaffrey, who's the business unit director for surf. Thank you for inviting me up and letting me come.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, to see you.
Always a pleasure.
So I wanted to come up, drive up today because here, what I keep hearing from so many surf shops, and I also have seen it in the data, is that you guys are just doing really well. And I've also seen, I feel like I've seen you in a lot more stores in Florida. Some really important ones have brought you in. They want more.
Yeah.
So tell me, what do you think is going on there? Why is this happening?
Yeah, we've always kind of been a brand that takes a bit longer, I think, to get a little traction. And it's kind of funny, whether it's surfboards or clothing, you know, it takes people a while to realize the extra bang for the buck that they invested in. You know, whether it's 2 years after they buy a jacket and someone goes, wow, that's a nice jacket, and then they actually realize that it's still in one piece, you know, it still looks good, or whether it's a surfboard and after they ride it for a full year and they take the wax off and they look at it and go, wow, there's hardly any dents in this thing. It's that aha moment that that takes a bit, and I think that resonates a little bit later even at the dealer level, because you know, in a lot of places it's new penetration for us, and you know, new people being introduced to the brand, and that same process of recognizing quality is happening at that level for all these new people. So yeah, I guess basically in a nutshell, it just takes a little bit longer for people to realize what they're getting when they buy something from us.
And how has it been managing that growth? And can you say what the growth has been, like how last year was for the surf unit? Or
yeah, we just crossed 100 million, which has been a goal of ours for a long time. You know,
in the surf division?
In the surf division.
And what's included in the surf division?
All t-shirts, hats, sweatshirts, hoodies, board shorts, women's swim, all sun protection and wetsuits.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah. And considering it's a pretty small product group for a company our size, it is what's been the core of what's made surf over the years, and it definitely hasn't been a strong point of ours when we first entered. So those categories have come a long way, and I mean, and some of them were brand new, like wetsuits. So,
and what period of time has that been?
Oh, 11 years.
Wow.
So
okay.
But the growth has happened in the last four.
Four.
It really took off. Yeah, we didn't really have a well-oiled machine in that what we call logo, that T-shirt hats world. So we kind of had to build from the ground up, and that's what really provided a lot of the growth for us, which, you know, has provided a lot of growth for the surf industry, period. So it was hard for us to get the, what is a cornerstone of what's built surf up and running here.
And talk a little about that, because I remember you saying to me before, it's a difficult conversation to have at Patagonia. And by the way, if you hear background noise, we're sitting outside at Patagonia, and there's like a daycare, and but we're in the beautiful sunshine. It's working great. Anyways, but the t-shirt, you kind of have to justify making another t-shirt. Does the world need another t-shirt?
Yeah, I remember that conversation. And I think I said, you know, does the world need another t-shirt? And if it does it need it from us? And I think getting the collective mind over that hurdle here is what was a pretty big challenge. I mean, we kind of pride ourselves in making really technical product, and while the t-shirt itself may not look like anything technical, the process behind it, if not done correctly, can be pretty impactful in a negative way. So while for us the process is technical and the product may appear simple, but what goes on behind the scenes is what we really had to unpack before we went in with both feet.
And you were able to do that and get buy-in around the office.
Yeah. I mean, organic cotton helped. And then we started, you know, we introduced the responsibility program, which took off really well, which used scraps from the factory floor as well as recycled poly. Doing things through the Patagonia lens or perspective, or applying the mission statement, is always provides a challenge. I didn't think anybody saw it being as challenging as it was with such a with a product that, you know, at a glance seems very simple. But looking at water impact, looking at dyes, looking at the process by which the fibers are grown, I mean, all that is kind of not considered, I think, in the general t-shirt business. So, you know, us being Patagonia, peeling back a few more layers, we had to make sure everything was on the up and up. So once we got it rolling, though, it's been a juggernaut. It's the t-shirt category itself is multiple millions. I mean, it was bigger than I ever thought it could be.
Really? And it's still growing?
It's still very much growing. And it's kind of funny because we needed a strong logo program in surf because, like I said, it's been a cornerstone of what the surf industry's built itself on. But it was a whole new day in the outdoor world when all these t-shirts showed up, because it's not a category in outdoor that's been strong in outdoor. But we've actually seen a lot of growth there as well on that side of the business. So, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. Something that we needed in surf actually benefited the company as a whole and the other parts of the business. So it was pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So after tees, like, what is your biggest category and where's the demand, most demand?
Right after t-shirts would come the surf apparel stuff, the men's and women's. And women's for us has been on fire the last 2 years. We just hired a new designer, and our PLM, Laura, had an amazing vision for what she thought the category could be. And we've just tried to support it on the marketing side to be able to give it its due, and really show what the perspective is on our women's line at Patagonia Surf, because I don't think it existed before.
And is it mostly apparel, but it's swim too, right? Or is it mostly swim?
And for us, the styles that come in our world, it's all swim. It's to go in the water or be sun protection. So it's all women's swim and sun pro. If it goes in the water, it's in our group.
Okay. And have you seen an adoption, as big adoption in the core surf market for women's swim?
Yes. That actually came around, it was funny, Huntington Surf and Sport booked it and, you know, kind of took a chance and really saw some traction the same year that they actually, when they first booked, like, Down Sweater. So it was odd to see the products on opposite ends of the spectrum resonate well with their customer.
That's really interesting, because I always feel like that's sort of a market that people in the industry ignore, sort of like the more active woman, you know, not just the teenager on the beach.
Totally, totally. And we've had to segment our line to kind of speak to the people that we feel could be attracted to us as a brand. And, you know, and that's all is defined in silhouette a lot of the time. But the women that work on the team here, from the marketing all the way through to the product, like, I'm obviously not the best perspective to have when asking about women's swim marketing or bikinis, although it comes in my world and I'm responsible for it. So my approach is just to give them the best tools they can to be as good as they want to be. You know, it's like they're the experts. I just got to get out of the way.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and that's basically what I did, and just let them run with it.
That's great. So. Now, one thing when we talked before, and I've heard this from stores, is that they're like dying for more service from Patagonia, because, like, they want a refill. You know, they need more product that's selling so well.
Totally.
They sometimes have to have, they feel really lucky if they have some sort of backdoor in. Like, everyone loves that Zach is here.
Yeah.
Because they know him from his early days. So it's like, oh, at least I can call him up and, you know, they'll take my order or something, or he'll put me in touch. So is that still an issue for you guys, or is it something you're trying to solve for?
Yes,
or?
Very much so. And, you know, a lot of our solves tend to be Swiss Army solves, where we try to get one person who has a lot of tools on the tool belt so they can do a lot of different things. And that's our approach. We have a position open on the East Coast for a tech rep to be able to service that specific request in those accounts, because our East Coast business has been growing so fast. We've had one on the West Coast for the last year and a half, 2 years, and that's proved well. Obviously, focus on the Southern and Central California kind of zones because of just the nature of the beast of the business. You know, it's like, if you're not in there once a week saying hi, doing count and fill, stoking out dealers and the people on the floor, then you're kind of not in the game. So, which is new for us because of our history in outdoor, because it isn't a requirement in that business
right.
as much. Whereas in the surf business, that's how it's always been from day one, and that's what's expected. So definitely a little new ground for us. But like you said, getting someone like Zach in the mix who is able to take his experience from window to register at Hurley and then bring it here and teach an old dog some new tricks has definitely been beneficial.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, you talked about how big it's been now. Like, could you say, like, what kind of growth rate you're having yearly?
It always averages out between about 15 and 20. Like, this year, the past year, it's been about 18, which is healthy. Not too crazy. You know, I get nervous, fast rise and fast fall. But a consistent, you know, anywhere between 15 and 20 for me is nice. There's always a little bit of upside. There's some meat on the bone for the next year, but there's, you know, it also shows a positive comp year on year. And I think it's that range is always pretty healthy.
And it's profitable growth.
Very much so.
Yeah, because you guys are concerned with profitable growth here.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? It's not just, you guys aren't into
it. It's not just top line for the sake of top line. You know, there's a pretty large group of people, and actually each business unit has its own dedicated finance person to keep us on the rails so that our eyes don't get bigger than our stomach and we just look at the top line and forget about everything we need to actually run our business.
Right. So where do you want to go next? Like, is it just to continue to grow in the stores you're in? You did add new distribution, which were, from what I can tell, really good shops that maybe hadn't carried you before.
Yes. Yes, we did. We got into Florida this year in a more meaningful way, and that's just taken time. You know, I think we could have done it before, but we didn't have the people in place to be able to take care of the service side, and I think we kind of learned our lesson, like I said, from previous years of hearing that from dealers. So we wanted to have some back-end support in place before we really went deep into Florida, because Florida is it's a powerful part of the industry. You know, there's a lot of business to be done down there, and definitely want to start out on the right foot. Distribution for us is always a big focus because we're multi-channel and always have been. In the surf market for us, wholesale is where it all begins. You know, we've always had a goal to be in the best shops wherever we are, and to us, we kind of defined that as the ones that had been around the longest, because when we started this, it was during the financial crisis, and we kind of wanted to pick the places that had already lived through it, you know, maybe even in the 70s or a little bit in the late 80s, early 90s. So we needed to pick the right partners, and we didn't want all of them per se. We weren't looking to have, you know, 2,000 dealers from east to west. We were looking to just be in the best ones and really fine tune our business with them, because it's not so much about having 500 doors. It's about doing the best business you can in maybe 1/5 of that, and really growing our footprint within key dealers versus, you know, maybe a shotgun approach with having our name in every door in every town.
Right.
It's being not so much being selective, but, you know, in a lot of the many economies that are towns on the East Coast and West Coast, you know, the guy that runs a surf shop gets his gas from the guy down the street who buys a sandwich from the other guy down the street, and it's a bit of a circular economy. So for us, we want to be a part of that and not just seem like the evil overlord that comes in and buys a bunch of space and puts their stuff on the floor and then isn't really a part of that community. That's another part of what takes so long, and what we're a hard brand to understand. And everyone can see us everywhere, but these days, but it's hard to understand us. I mean, when you say define Patagonia, I think you could write a paragraph in a heartbeat, because we're into so many different things. And I think part of why we do that is to spread the real message behind it all, and that which all starts with the mission statement. You know, a lot of what we do now wasn't mainstream 20 years ago or even 30 years ago. And a lot of it is, we've helped influence it, and I would say we've done it all. And that is part of what is next for us as well in surf. You know, we took a longer time to have a good t-shirt and logo program at the company than it did to make wetsuits from trees. That just shows
really?
You where. Well, yeah.
That is so amazing.
It took 5 years to get wetsuits from trees. It took 7 years to convince the company that t-shirts weren't this evil thing that we didn't need to stay away from. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that just shows where our head's at.
Right.
And it's just like, it's a crazy place, but it's awesome. And continuing to be that influence, whether it's, you know, proving alternative materials are viable or introducing programs like Fair Trade and Blue Sign and organic whatever to the market, that's really what we're all about.
Do you think the current political climate has helped you guys?
It's a tough one. I don't know. I think it's I think it's helped us define what we're really about to a lot of people. I think, you know, as we've grown, crossing the $1 billion mark, we are, as a company, it's a little bit unnerving, I think. I think it's a little bit of uneasiness with it. I mean, we're stoked. You know, it's good that, you know, we're profitable and we're growing. But if we weren't doing all the things we were doing on the back end, you know, if we were a conventional business, I don't think you'd see the people that you see here, and I don't think you'd see the influence that we've had. I don't think this company would exist, actually, knowing the founders, if we were just a conventional company. It's our ability to be able to do things the way we think is right that keeps us in the game, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's anybody can do it the normal way. It's a little harder to do it in a less impactful way and still make money. But it's that constant challenge that keeps us coming to work every day pretty stoked.
Well, on that note, tell me what's going on with your fair trade program. And that launched fairly recently, right?
We launched 100% fair trade for our men's board shorts. Well, our men's and women's swim in 2017. And that was a huge step for us. When we started out, you know, we had a couple styles. And then we were like, well, let's try and get all the styles certified. I mean, doing two or three is good. But if we can do all of them, that's better. And we went for that. And we had a one-year certification in place that, unfortunately, this past season wasn't able to continue. So the program we launched where we were 100% all in on fair trade is not going to be the same for spring 19, unfortunately. So what that posed was a different set of challenges because, you know, we're looking at it and it's like, do we pull our POs, find another factory that's fair trade? That was an option. But then when we dug a little deeper, we realized that the people that were going to be working on the stuff that we had POs in place for would lose their jobs if we cut those POs, which kind of defeats the purpose of ever doing fair trade in the first place. So while we couldn't get the certification, we couldn't really sleep easy at night knowing that we just put a whole line of factory workers on the street, for lack of a better term. So what the approach we are doing is to, as we usually do, just come clean and just say, look, this isn't easy. This is tougher than we thought. We're in the process of messaging this. You know, we're not going to have all the fair trade styles that we had when we made this launch in 2017, but we're committed to the spring 20 season to get as many, if not all, back in fair trade certified factories. While we simultaneously, you know, exit responsibly so that people don't lose their jobs. So it's a catch 22 because, you know, in one way you're like fair trade or nothing, but then you realize the implications of taking that hard line fly in the face of the good that you were trying to do in the first place. It's tricky.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
And what about the wetsuits? I know you guys had opened up to sharing the information you found with other companies. Has anyone been taking you up on that?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of awesome. This past spring, Sia converted a large portion of their women's line. I don't think everything, but I know they had a solid FSC certified collection. Finisterre, a UK brand, they announced they were launching a suit in May next month, which is a pretty big first step. As far as I know, they'd be the first brand to use the FSC certified rubber in a full suit. There were other brands, but they didn't have the FSC certification. The biggest progress has come with Ulex and Shaco as partners in developing the material. This next round of suits is pretty mind-blowing. And, you know, I probably am jinxing it, but I really think it could be the year where other brands go, it's here now, we can start to adopt it. And I think that this could be the tipping point for that. I'm hopeful. You know, every year, every brand says, X percent stretchier, this is the one you've been waiting for. And I kind of feel like a used car salesman sometimes when I get in that mode, but this is, it's true. The suits we've seated with dealers, with friends that work for other companies that have no reason to tell me anything but the truth. And I'll leave the guilty anonymous for this part of the story, but they are very impressed by it. And, you know, and I'm stoked because if us doing it is great, more people adopting it is way better. And it's not for any other reason than what's left in the wake of production.
Right.
And that's pretty, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. So I have a question for you. What I see in surf shops from Patagonia, do I see, will I see that in other channels? Like, is that stuff also sold in Outdoor or Dick's? Or, I was surprised, I saw a big Patagonia section in a Dick's recently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It's a merchandising exercise, basically. There's the, what we call the core product, the wetsuits, the rash guards, the board shorts, the women's swim. And then what surrounds that is what we pull from sportswear. Now, there are styles that skew a little bit more towards the surf coastal crowd. There are styles that skew more towards the mountain lifestyle look. And we assort based on region, basically. So our line's big enough that we can tailor, you know, a very good wholesale order for an HSS that would look totally different from like a Cinnamon Rainbows. It may look like a shop in Colorado. I don't know. The point of it all is that the line has the breadth to be able to support all of the different interests that and categories that we're in.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you an industry question. What do you think of the state of the industry these days?
As a surfer, what, without my Patagonia hat on or with my Patagonia hat on?
How about without and then with?
Without my Patagonia hat on, I think it's turned the corner from the chaos that I think has existed for the last couple of years. And this is just, like I said, this is me as someone who surfed for a large portion of their life and seen a lot of the brands that I came up with go through some pretty big growing pains. But I think the worst is over. And I believe that the traditional brands in the industry need to be strong for the entire industry to continue to move forward in a way that I think is good for it. If we lose the original founding brands, we lose a lot of the core identity that I think, at least for me personally, as someone who surfed a large portion of their lives, is attracted to. I want a strong Quicksilver. I want a strong Billabong. I can't believe that they are now one. That seems like, you know, cats and dogs living together or something, but I think it's going to be a stronger brand overall and help make the industry for everyone much stronger. Because, I mean, you have the two biggest companies that have ever existed in surfing now becoming one. They both have strengths. They both have weaknesses. Now they just have strengths. And now with my business hat on as a competitor, I look at them and I'm like, oh boy, here they come. This is a whole new day. This could change a lot of different things. And especially with the Olympics coming and, you know, I don't know. I mean, I have my own theory on what's going to happen there. I think surfing is going to grow up a lot. And I think at the same time, the fork in the road that's always existed between competition and lifestyle is going to become a four-lane highway in both directions. Because I'm not sure how competition is going to be digested here in the States, because it's never really been so much about that, at least to me, and what I think of surfing. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's just different. And I think there's going to be a lot of people trying to figure that out. Like, I love watching the competition. I was never any good at it, so I didn't really have that much interest in it. I just wanted to go surfing. And I think there's a lot of people like that.
And do you have to tell people no a lot, stores?
I wouldn't say we have to do it a lot. I think, and it's not necessarily no. It's more of a yes, but. You know, it's like, we can do that, but we don't do it exactly like that for all these reasons. And like I said, it's sometimes it's hard for dealers or people to understand the first couple times, but once they do, it's like, oh yeah, and now I get it. You know, it's a lot of times with, you know, we don't have things on wheels. You know, we go in and we do business with dealers that are want to be supportive of the brand. You know, that want to get behind it, and we're looking for really good long-term partners, not so much people along for the ride because it happens to be trending. And when we do say no, it's often because We have one good, really, really good dealer in town, and it's not that we don't want or maybe need to. We just have to respect that original relationship that stuck with us for the last 10 years. We can't just jump ship because, you know, maybe there is a bigger shop in town, but, you know, we've already made friends. And while we wouldn't want to have more, at the same time, to be fair, on a business level, you just can't do that.
Right, right.
So,
and so you don't do things on wheels, so people need to pay their bills.
Yes, very much so.
On time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we work with people. Everyone has rough times once in a while, but it's a very healthy business. And I would say that, and Zach's done a great job, and I think the feedback, some of the feedback he gets the most is that you guys remind me of how it used to be, in a way that it's very, we're not looking to take over the world overnight. We're not looking to have the most market share by tomorrow. We want to build a strong, healthy, long-lasting business, because while it is more work on the front end, it's worth it because it lasts. It stands the test of time. And, you know, I joke around. I always tell these guys, nothing fast has ever happened. No, nothing good has ever happened fast. And I believe it. Same thing with business growth. If it grows fast, it's going to fall fast. Odds are. Because it's just not sustainable. Nothing in life works like that.
Right.
It just doesn't go.
So people would kill for 15 to 20% growth these days.
Yeah, I know. And that's that's very measured. You know, and that's a very... You know, we could have more. But again, it's not that we don't want it. It's just that... Maybe we're overly cautious. Climbers are cautious too.
Yeah, yeah.
Very less so than surfers. But the landings are softer for us.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Okay, so I guess my last question is, what's the next big thing? Like what from your division? Oh, and let me ask, actually I have two questions.
Okay.
This is just a housekeeping one. How many people on your team?
On my team in terms of?
Like how many people work for you?
Oh, I have a team from everything, from surfboard manufacturing, marketing, and the product people and finance have about 23 people.
Oh, wow. That's a big team.
Yeah. Not all of them report to me, but we all work together. And I'm probably about 2/3 of them report to me.
Okay.
So.
And then what's the next big thing for you guys? What's like from the surf division? Is there anything exciting coming? Anything you're excited about?
Oh, there's a
lot. Anything new?
There's a lot because we work so far out. I mean, I think right now we're almost on spring 20 in terms of concepting. We're buttoning up fall 19 right now, and spring 19 is a sales meeting that starts next week. So spring 19, we have a pretty incredible relaunch for men's board shorts. In spring 20, we're doing a full women's relaunch. That's going to be super, super exciting. Like I said, we have a new designer on the women's side. We're looking for a designer on the men's side to help us with our board shorts. Fair trade wetsuits this fall, that's going to be huge. Like I said, we continue to push for fair trade despite some of the setbacks we had in board shorts. But our focus will be on fair trade for board shorts looking forward into spring 20. So I mean, there's a lot of things that there's a lot of irons in the fire, and there's a lot of excitement right now. Like I said, the business kind of crossed that 100 million mark for us, and you know, it's been 14 years that I've been doing this job. 14? 11 years I've been doing this job. So, yeah, sometimes it seems like 30 and sometimes it seems like 2. Today's one of those days where it seems like 2. It's like, wow, how did so much go so far so fast? But it's been fun. And
did you celebrate the 100 million? I'm sorry.
No, we don't do that, really.
Yeah.
We don't celebrate a billion. We don't celebrate 100 million.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. But it was never really about the number. It was like that's the number measures whether or not, I guess you're growing. And but it's for us, it's the numbers behind that number.
Yeah.
It's the profitability. It's the give backs. It's the action works kind of things that we're able to establish. It's provisions. You know, being able to do what they're doing with regenerative organic. And like I said, We're easy to recognize, very hard to define, because we are all over the place when it comes to trying to figure out how to do things better.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I would have never guessed you guys were 100 million.
In surf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's substantial.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm stoked. Like, I remember getting that goal, like, maybe 7 years ago, and I just kind of scratched my head, and I was like... You know, someone tells you to build a like a grandfather clock, and you're looking at the tools in the toolbox going, we need to buy some tools. And that's what we did. You know, we took a few years of a lot of different people here working with me, finding out exactly what we needed and when to make the investment in people and resources to be able to build the solid foundation so that when we had when we did reach 100 million, we had the right group of people to continue that momentum. You know, it definitely wasn't accidental. There was a lot of hard work, but we couldn't have done it without bringing the right people in. And that's guys like Zach, you know. And
oh, retailers love him.
I mean, yeah, Zach comes he's Zach. He's great reputation. He's really good at what he does. And having someone like that in front of key dealers opened up a lot of doors for us.
Yeah, that's
no
great.
Doubt. So more of the same, I think, I guess in general, just want to continue to grow our wholesale business. Not so much grow more doors as we want to grow the business within the doors we have. Balance that with our direct program. You know, we have a very, very robust e-com and direct business model now. So just making sure that doesn't step on the toes of what built us, and that's Surf Wholesale.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, well, anything else you want to add?
No. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday, and thanks for meeting with me.
No worries. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find previous podcast interviews on our website under the podcast tab. Thank you also to our sponsors and to our executive edition members. We appreciate each and every one of you.